morning. My name is Mike Conlon. I'm from the University of Florida. I have a job to do that was given to me by the NIH. So I have a research project that's going on. The goal of the research project is to create a national network of scientists. Okay, that's kind of a big idea. We're going to talk a little bit about what that idea is, what it means, how it happens, and hopefully how you all are involved. We start with some public data about scientists' interests, activities, and accomplishments. We have a tool that was originally developed at Cornell University called VIVO. VIVO is a research discovery tool. The purpose of VIVO is to allow practitioners to identify information about science, about scientists, about their interests, their activities, and their accomplishments. This is a picture from science. It is a ribbon schematic, you can't read this in the back, of the 3D structure of the protein triose phosphate isomerase. The reason I like this picture so much, it was hand-drawn and colored in 1981. Okay. We don't do it that way anymore. Okay. Science involves tools. Science involves teams. Science involves technology. Okay. And so the technological underpinnings of science and the tool underpinning of science is of intense interest to me and the people involved in the VIVO project to be able to build things that you all will be able to use to understand and do science better. Here's some scientists. We're all about the scientists. This happens to be biochemistry at Stanford, but I know that if you put your team, it would look something similar. And I also can tell that some of the people in that picture would have been the people who might have had to hand-drawn that picture. We're trying to help folks like this. Okay. When I think about tools for science, I think about something that's simple and elegant and useful. And so, as a technologist, my job is to get out of the way. Okay? You all have work to do. You should be able to do it. And you shouldn't have questions. And you shouldn't have complexity. And you shouldn't have barriers. You should be able to think about what you think about and not what I think about. We have a data model for VIVO. It's a little different than what you might be used to. So if you are a technologist and you do want to think about this, I'll just orient you a little bit to how we do it. We're used to putting data in rows and columns. So some of you, I was trained as a statistician, okay? And some of you understand, oh, there's rows and columns, okay? And the rows have something to do with things that we want to know about, and the columns have something to do with attributes that we know about the rows. Well, the world doesn't come in rows and columns, okay? We force it into rows and columns, and sometimes that forcing is pretty hard. And so when it comes to information about science and their interests and their activities and their accomplishments, rows and columns are a little different and a little difficult. So that kind of smash up, between the structures that we're familiar with, rows and columns, and the way the world actually works in science, we found that was a little problematic. And so the data structures that we use are a little more expressive and have to do with this concept of triples. Which, if you're not a practitioner, not a technologist, doesn't really matter that much to you. But basically, the way we represent data is in terms of statements. And the statements are always of the form subject, object, subject, predicate, object. So something like Mike published paper. June has Grant. Grant has co-authors. Grant published in this date. So it's a very natural and expressive way to represent the data that comes with the complexity and vitality of science. Every piece of data in the VIVO system and on the National Network of Science has an address. This is like the web, right? It is the web. So things on the web have addresses. The difference is that when you go to an address on the web, you get a page of text. Here we're talking about data that has an address. So my data has an address. Your grant has an address. Your paper has an address. Everything that we have done has an address. And that allows us to find things and combine things. Okay? So those addresses become important, and they become the lingua franca of the connections in science. We express things in terms of an ontology. And here we have apparently a scientist expressing his interest in ice cream. And he can do that precisely because there's an ontology that describes the relationships of various things in the ice cream world. And we all have our discipline-specific vocabularies that we've heard about over the last day and a half. And those discipline-specific vocabularies can be used with precision to express interests, activities, and accomplishments. And so if you express an interest in human papillomavirus, I know because of the structure of those concepts that related to virology and cancer that you're likely interested in human causes of cancer. And so the use of structured information and ontological representation of information allows us to do search and finding and facilitate science in ways that were not previously possible. So the National Network needs a lot of data, and it's data like your vita. So what did you do? What did you write? What did you create? What are you interested in? And institutions record these activities. And so getting data from the institution saves you a lot of work. So we work with the institutions and data systems to be able to take data from various contexts and apply it to VIVO and the National Network so that you have less work to do in creating and maintaining the kind of information that's necessary for collaborative science. Archives, libraries, and others record accomplishments. And so whether this is a paper or now we're getting into institutional repositories that can record gray literature, if you have produced something that has some longevity of some kind, there are archivists who are interested in having it, and then that data can become available to your profile and to the National Network. Okay, so when we have such a thing, what might we be able to do with it? Well, one of the things that we would be able to do is find people, okay? Now, you know, you can kind of use Google today, but take a look at the search that's up here. The search says, mandibular cyst researchers in Brazil. Okay? So I'm not interested in pictures of mandibular cysts, okay? Which is what you get today, okay? So the kinds of search we're able to do today is really quite primitive. I mean, I know we're thrilled with it, and we didn't have it, 15 years ago, and we're all still, amazed at what it does. But actually, if you look at it with a critical eye, you'll actually realize, if you type in tomato, you could get just about anything. Okay, so here we're expressing something that's semantically interesting: mandibular cyst researchers in Brazil. And because this concept, mandibular cyst, is known in an ontology, we know that the related concepts are tumor, odontogenic tumor, and other concepts. So you can click to see the collection. We know that the search is for researchers. So we're supposed to find researchers. We're not supposed to find cysts. Okay? And we know that the search is scoped to a particular geographic area, which is then displayed. Okay? So this is the kind of application that we want to be able to create using the data that I've been talking about. And we see that when we get a result for researchers, we get names and addresses and papers and presentations and funding so that we can quickly determine whether these are people of interest to us more specifically than we might have expressed in our search here. Okay. So we want to be able to find people with some precision. Okay. We also want to be able to study science. This is what this whole conference is about. Okay, so we have the great fortune of actually having Cottie working with us on the project. And this is a picture that she made of her co-PI network. This is the kind of visualization that is being built into Vivo so that as data becomes available, we're able to display the actual interconnections between people and scientists and their collaborations. Here's a tool we used to use. So how do we get information about science? You know, there's a lot of it, right? If we had information about our interests, activities, and profiles, then it would be possible to create tools that routed information to us. Some people have tried to do that already, and the results have been almost uniformly disappointing, okay? So, you know, you sign up for a listserv. Okay? What a primitive idea, okay? You know, I admit I might be interested in something you might tell me, okay? You know? And so what, you know, what you get out of that is you fail to be on the listserv that you wanted to be on because you didn't know it existed, and then the listserv sends you stuff you didn't really want to get, okay? So why don't I tell you what I'm interested in with some specificity, and maybe you can derive what I'm interested in because I've shown you my grants and my publications, so you can kind of figure it out. And then route me information stuff that I'm really interested in. And by the way, give me a volume knob and a mute button, so if I'm not interested at all, I can just click out and I don't want any of that, okay? Or I can say, only give me the stuff that I'm very interested in, that's a perfect match for what I've got, or I want it turned down and please only send me like one message a week, okay? So we can envision a situation in which people are receiving routed information and the two people sitting next to each other in adjacent offices who study exactly the same thing are receiving a different amount of information because one person said, give me a lot, and the other person said, don't I, you know, I only want to know if the Nobel Prize winner is coming, okay? So don't, you know, don't bother me. So we can imagine information routing and a future in which we can actually do this with some success. And unfortunately, the idea, I think, has been discredited a little bit by the primitive attempts we've already made. So I see people who say, you know, don't bother trying to send me anything because you're not really very good at it, okay? So we want to get better at it by having and using information about faculty interests, activities, and accomplishments. Once we have data, we're able to, of course, build teaming tools. And I want to talk about the relationship of tools to the data and to the scientists as we go forward. Okay, so the basic idea is that there can be collections of data coming from the institutions about their scientists. Just like an institution runs a website, here we have information coming from the institution about faculty interests, activities, and accomplishments. And then a collection of applications. These applications are logically independent of the data. And it means that people can write applications of all kinds. So if they're interested in information routing, they can write an information routing application. If they're interested in finding scientists, they can write a finding scientists application. They can create a regional portal. They can do crowdsourcing. They can write a network workbench. It's already been written. You know, we can hook that up to information about scientists. They want to do network analysis. They want to create a portal for a society. They want to create collaborative groups of some kind. They want to create documents and reporting to buy down the bureaucracy of science. So they want to have push-button Vitas or push-button biosketches or other tools that scientists could use to simplify their work. All of those kinds of tools are facilitated by having an infrastructure of data about scientific activity. And then, of course, we have the scientists, okay, who are then free to use whatever tools they find useful. Okay. We have an approach. It's very simple. Okay, let's collaborate with everyone. So whether you're a tool builder, or a scientist, or an institution that's interested in adoption, or a data provider, or anyone who's interested in studying science, or anything that has to do with interests, activities, and accomplishments of scientists, and how we might create something like this, we're interested. We're always interested. We have a very open process. Now we have open source software, so the software is available for download. So your technologists can take a look at it and try, you know, start horsing around with it, send us, you know, their little flaming notes that they like to send, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're ready to go. Okay, so we are open source. Download the software. We also have an open ontology. The ontology is a description of the vocabulary used to represent faculty interests, activities, and accomplishments. Okay, it's a structured vocabulary in that format of subject, predicate, object. The ontology is also open. It's also available for discussion. How do you represent this? How do you represent that? Okay, we have some very good people working in that area. The software has been under development at Cornell since 2004, so we have a fairly mature representation framework for scientific activity and faculty interests, activities, and accomplishments. And I think you'll appreciate what you see when you when you get there. Okay. So we're definitely on our way. Okay. We have seven schools that are funded by the NIH to work out details and kind of plow the ground before you get there. And we've been up and running since September, so this thing is moving pretty rapidly. But now we have schools that are actively considering adoption. We have data providers, federal agencies, and publishers that are actively considering how to provide data into the national network. And we have tool providers that are actively considering how their tool will integrate with the national network so that they can consume data from the common platform. We are having a first national conference in August. We'll be bringing together people who are interested in adopting, who are interested in building tools, who are interested in providing data, have questions about how this all works, and we'll be discussing, and as a, because of the open nature of the process, it'll be a very engaged kind of activity in which we're listening to the community about what is actually needed so that we can provide something of value. So with that, I'm gonna wrap up. There's our URL, vivoweb.org, thank you for having me. And we'll take questions during the question period. Okay. Thank you.